Yes, I'm ready to go live.
All right, here we go.
All right, this is Jeffrey Sisk, and you're watching American Liberty Live. And we're now back here with our special guest tonight, Tom Campbell. How are you doing, Tom? It's good to have you back on the show.
I'm doing great, and thank you for inviting me again. I appreciate it.
Well, everybody enjoyed having you on. I enjoyed having you on last time. And, man, the time really flew here. You know, I can't believe it's really been almost 3 months since we had you on here. So, but we're definitely glad to have you back. And I don't know if you want to recap or I could give a quick recap just for people that might not be familiar with you. But Tom had military experience in the 70s and 80s and went into contracting and did a lot of security for, I guess, UN type of organizations everywhere from Kuwait to Kosovo to the Congo. Lots of places, you know, all over. And in the process, kind of had an awakening about the New World Order. And that kind of brought him up to where he is today. He blew the whistle on some of this stuff in a book that somebody wrote back in, 2006, Tom?
Yes, exactly. Yes, exactly right. The Coming Balkan Caliphate by Chris DeLisio.
There you go. And he just laid the truth out there. He didn't hold anything back. And I guess that's kind of led you probably on a pretty crazy life since then, I would imagine.
Oh, to say the least.
Yeah. So, you know, it's good to have you back. I know last time you were on, we covered some of that. And I think tonight, the thing that really sticks out to me that, you know, that I would love to get from you is, what do you see going on in the present world that's happening that's got you concerned the most? And, let's bring some of those issues tonight and talk to them about them a little bit, and we can get some of the viewers on here and maybe have a little interaction. But what are the things? I know you feel like this plan is accelerated. I agreed with you when you were on the air in August, especially the last 6 or 7 years. This is really accelerated. And I do feel like that America needs to wake up. You know, that we're sort of at the 11th hour. So what are you seeing today that concerns you the most about where we're at and about what we need to do to stop this onslaught?
Well, first thing is, I want to start off with a solution. And some of your viewers might agree, some might not, I don't know. But you know me now, that I speak straight ahead.
Sure.
The actual solution that's going to be is 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, will heal their land. Now, that being said, that is the solution, but we are, you know, on this earth, we have to deal with the Illuminati, with the Jesuits, with the Knights of Malta, with the Freemasons, and with a host of CEOs and industrialists, bankers, etc. And they're organized. But the ones that run this world on a human level, or what's called the Illuminati, is the insider Italians. And then the outsiders, the 13 of them, 13 families, 13 houses, they call them. And the outside, you have 13 families that everybody knows about. Now, it is a supernatural war, whether we like it or not. It is a supernatural war we're in. And the Illuminati are slaves to a hierarchy. But I won't go there to right now. But what we're
right,
doing...
And I'll even interject this to anybody who doesn't... You know, even if you don't want to... All groups, you know, different names, Illuminati and all this stuff. Understand there is a power elite on this planet, in this world, that wants to change how our society operates. And no matter what you call them, these are bad, evil men. They're well-funded. They have vast resources. They've been working at this plan for a long, long time. All right, go ahead, Tom.
Well, so really on a human level, it's pretty much they can the elite families can trace their bloodline back to the pharaohs of Egypt. See, this goes back a long time ago. And I'm sorry, a little hoarse tonight. Sorry.
That's okay.
The pharaohs of Egypt did like a, if you play chess, did like a leap, a jump to Europe. And the leap and jump they made, the Caesars were left to begin the execution of all those that were called Christian. That's kind of the big picture at that period. So when the pharaohs jump leaped into Europe, they became the bloodline of the royal families we have today. Queen Elizabeth, the presidents, the kings, the queens, all of them, every one of them. And then from there, they bring families in as they need them. They've been doing this for centuries. And they train their children from 5 to 8 years old. From then on, they train them to lead this agenda. They plan 100 years in advance or more, down to 20 years. If they want to accelerate the plan, they come up with what's called a Hegelian dialectic. A dialectic. They present a problem. They expect an anticipated reaction. And they have the solution. That's how they've been doing it all along. Now, so it's pretty much the worldwide conspiracy we're dealing with, what's called a world revolutionary movement, is orchestrated by pretty much a tribe of genetically related individuals. So let's take it a step further. All of our presidents that's assigned to this corporation called America are in the same bloodline, except for Van Buren. They're all appointed, never elected. That's the first fallacy that we say we have free elections. We do not. We never have had.
Yeah, and we've covered that extensively on this show. I mean, we pretty much, you know, we have candidates that are put in front of us. And then we're manipulated with mass media and everything to feel like this person got elected or that person got elected. But it's just pure manipulation. And, you know, I'm not even sure when we would have ever really truly had what you'd consider the last true honest election, you know,
in America. We haven't really.
But it's very controlled and contrived, and everybody I know that has been on this show all year, we know this is a rigged game. You know, that's why, you know, it's so important that we wake America up, because this plan is very advanced, is it not?
Oh, it's very advanced. They have an 8-step program. An 8-step program, you'll find it under the name of Tyler. And he identified all the 8 steps. And the first step is to put a country, a culture, the target, whoever it is, in bondage.
Right.
That's the first step.
And with America, they use the Communist Manifesto, the breakdown of the family, the breakdown of religious bonds, all these things that they've been very successful at since the 60s.
Well, actually, around the 13th century, when it began for the white folk. And I do have to say white folk, because it was in Europe. The first stage of bondage was religious intolerance. Because they had to get the white folk, I hate to put it like that, but that's what it was, the white folk to move to America. Into a wilderness they had no idea about. How to get them to do it. The Vatican, or then the church fathers, the Vatican, used religious intolerance called murder. Because they murdered between 50 and 68 million people that began in the 13th century. So between 1200 A.D. and 1400 A.D., there's about 30 million people murdered. From 1200 to 1800 A.D. was between 50 and 68 million. So.
Right. Their purpose was starting a religious war, was it not?
Exactly correct. And that was the guide to get them to move. So they needed a pathway. Under the Genovese family in Spain, in Italy, you had a man by the name of Columbus who laid the groundwork so that others would follow him. He was Illuminati. He was not a good guy. And so he laid the groundwork under contract to Queen Isabella and Ferdinand so that the white folk can now leave and get out of this religious intolerance, not being murdered by the Vatican. And that's what they did. And that went from 14 to 1600. And then the second culture was brought in, called the blacks, as slaves for tobacco in the year 1613. That was the second culture brought in. See, America has always been a target for the melting pot of the world. That's always been the idea from the very beginning. And then from then on, all the cultures were supposed to be centered into this country called North America, in this continent. And that was the plan all along.
Well, there's no doubt that America became the great melting pot. No, oh, yeah. No doubt about it, you know. So,
well, the idea was to mix the races. And according to Brock Chisholm, the World Health Organization director between 1948 and 1953, the idea on the long term was to bring all the races together, combine them, so then at a certain time, of which they now have accomplished, you'd have no more racial strife. So you have order. By creating chaos, you bring order. And that was the plan all along. And in the meantime, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, in some ways, then there's been some failure there. I mean, just the divisions that have been brought back into America just in the last year between white and black, have been, they've been introduced by our leadership. And they've been dividing us along these racial lines, along economic lines, the haves and have-nots, immigrants and Americans. I mean, there's just so much division in this country right now amongst, and they really have stirred up this racial thing. And my only thing there is it has to be, the intent there is to continue to divide America. I think a united America would be an overwhelming political force that couldn't be denied.
That's true. So, well, yeah. The situation is they want to create the chaos, which is what they're doing now. So we'll get tired of it and want to come together. But it'll be under a new world order. North American
Congress. And that's all the radicals that have surrounded Barack Obama since he took office. It's Bill Ayers, Bernadine Dorn, all these guys. And that's exactly the stance they took through the 60s and all the activism. You collapse the system, you overload it, you create the chaos, and then you put in place what you want.
Well, actually, in March 4th, 1939, it was laid out in Congress behind closed doors. FDR's plan to bring in one world government, to bring us together under a dictatorship, and bring all the aliens, outsiders in as possible, declare martial law, and confiscate everything he needed for a true and a forceful dictatorship. He said that in March 4th, 1939.
Yeah, and we really studied this out pretty hard, and we took it from the late 1800s. We had all our young men. They went to Europe. They came back. They had learned progressivism. It led to Woodrow Wilson, Teddy Roosevelt, 1913, we got the Federal Reserve. Our founders warned us about a central bank. We stopped appointing senators that year. They started getting elected, just like the House of Representatives. And that slide down that slope that led to FDR and the New Deal and the Great Society and what you're talking about, the plan there, it's very insidious, and really we've had 100 years of progressivism now that's been very destructive.
Oh, we've had since 1700s. It began when we became bankrupt in 1787 and stopped. We've been under bankruptcy since 1789, never stopped. We became bankrupt by design because of the Revolutionary War. You see, the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, was formulated by the Illuminati and brought to us through the Freemasons. And the idea was to create, guess what, chaos and rebellion. Because our forefathers didn't have to rebel. Because the coronation oath that is given to the king and queen, in this case King George, requires the king or the queen, whichever the case may be, to abide by the wishes of the people. They have no choice because of the coronation oath. However, quote, the colonists have no right to rebel, unquote, because you don't need to. Because you can submit a petition with a certain number of colonists submitted to the king and queen, King George, by your by the legislative branch, and they had to abide by the wishes. So,
yeah, but they were ignoring the petitions, though.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what led to the declaration, was it not?
Well, yeah, but it was intended to ignore them. See, a large number of our forefathers were Fabians and Freemasons. In other words, for example, Benjamin Franklin, in 1787, he said, and I quote, just after completion of the signing of the Constitution, and in reply to a woman's inquiry as the type of government the founders created, Benjamin Franklin said, a republic.
If you can keep it.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Right.
You got it.
Right.
You got it. So in 2 years later, 1789, they put us under financial bondage. Now, we appeared to win the battles, but we lost the war. Because in 1789, actually 1783, the Paris Peace Treaty put us, King George, as the Prince of the United States of America Incorporated. Yeah. And so by 1789, we went under a 70-year bank cycle of bankruptcy. So the collateral was Washington, D.C. That's why it's District of Columbia and not part of Virginia, because it don't belong to us. It never did. So that was collateral for the bank loan we got to continue operating as a colony under the guise that we're a country, as rascals. And so you calculate 70 years, you get 1859. It's time for another war because the bank cycle ended 1859. It's kind of like bankruptcy for an individual, 7 years. Same thing. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay,
we
okay.
Can hear you.
There's clicking going on. And so what happened was they brought in another family member, Illuminati, by the name of Lincoln. Now, Lincoln changed along the way. And around 1860, I forgot exactly the date, you had the Congress of Vienna. And around this time period, the Tsar of Russia, and at one time working with Lincoln, thwarted the plans of the Rothschilds to invade America and make it a dictatorship. It really ticked them off. And so they swore vengeance against the Romanov family in the 1860s. Lincoln was going to back our money. He was going to coin our own money. And that was not to be allowed by the Jesuits. So they assassinated him. Johnson.
Yeah, and we've heard the theory on it that it was related to, you know, wanting to make money. The same with Kennedy the early 60s.
That's
same
right.
Thing.
That's
right.
Exactly right. And so what happened was the loan goes out 1859. We needed money because we had a war, the greatest loss of life. The American soldiers was fighting each other, 500,000 plus. And so we needed to rebuild, of course. So we got another bank loan. Collateral, 70 years. 13 states was collateral. So what happened then, 70 years later, was 1929. And that's what the Federal Reserve Act was all about, except that fraud between Mandel House and Woodrow Wilson.
Well, the Federal Reserve Act got pushed through in 1913.
That's right.
Yeah.
It was all planned, though, before 1897, 1901. 1910 was Jekyll Island.
That's right. Have you ever read the book, Creature from Jekyll Island?
I went through it. I haven't read it word for word, but I have read through it.
Right. It's a very, very interesting. I have an original copy of that book from the 70s that my father gave me because he's a retired bank executive. And he passed that along somewhere along the line. And so that's where I learned about it.
Yeah.
So.
And that's why McKinley got shot in 1901 because he was intervening with the Congress and had to do with the economics. And he's putting a stopper to it. So they had to kill him. And then 10 years later, of course, Jekyll Island, they put it together. And then to put us under a false sense of security, of course, they had to have a war. And that was to be the New World Order then, but it failed because the League of Nations was a trial test of the world government.
Right.
And the fraud of financial fraud is described in Woodrow Wilson's diary about social insurance and how we're bonded by our birth certificate. That was planned between 1913 and 1921. That's another story. I got the actual quote right here. So 1921, J.P. Morgan caused a minor depression, scared the pants out of people, and then he comes along and says, I'll save you now. That's in the history books, the part about saving you. Part about causing it is not brought in there too much. So we're lulled into a seven-year false security, people spending money, buying houses, buying cars, having a good old time. Happy days are here again. Till 1927. Federal Reserve met, decided on the time of the Depression. Had to be in 1929, 70 years. And so in 1928, Wall Street funds Adolf Hitler through IG Farben, chemical cartel. We fund Hitler fully. Henry Ford, the whole lot of them. So by 1929, September, October, boom, it crashes by design. Now, at that point, there was a military takeover planned in America in 1933. And they were going to use a bonus army as the rebellion. And then that's why they withheld the bonus that they were promised.
Yeah, yeah, and that's a story that was really buried for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that has started, it's come out into the public eye, you know, in recent times, but it was buried for a long time.
That's right. And so General Butler was a spokesman for the Bonus Army, and he didn't know around 1931, 32 that they were going to hire him secretly to lead a rebellion against FDR. That was a plot to seize the White House, which people can read about. They offered him $60,000, the industrialist, to lead a revolt against FDR. But what they didn't know, and Butler didn't know, that FDR was behind it. Now, during the time of 1921 and 1927, while everybody's all happy, FDR, Churchill, and the Mitsui, Japanese Royal Army, Japanese Royal Family, were planning World War II. And they planned Pearl Harbor before 1928. You see?
Now, let me ask you a question. Because for the average person out there, I mean, this stuff just is skipping right off the top of their head, and they're thinking you guys have lost your mind.
Yeah.
So, I mean, where are you getting, I mean, where is the source information for that these guys met secretly and planned these things? You know, just to give people some more background information so they'll have a better sense of where some of this data is coming from.
I've collected this from many different places. Jim Mars, Gary Allen, William T. Steele. I've got a collection of different places. I've accumulated this knowledge. I've got a list of the books in my website, watchmenforjesus.com. I can't really pinpoint right this moment exactly where that
came from. All right, then let's go ahead and continue on down the narrative. Then at least people now know where they can go and get more information that led to. Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
So they met, they planned World War II, and let's pick it up from there.
Well, actually, they continued to plan for World War II because Albert Pike, in 1871, August 15th, 1871, wrote a letter to Manzini around 1871, and the letter outlined the basic plan of World War I, World War II, and what's coming around the corner, World War III. In basic concepts, he wrote the letter planning the three world wars before 1871.
Now, what was supposed to be accomplished by these?
Each war was to lead into a new world order by different steps. And for the final order, the final plan was to destroy Christianity and even atheism and lead the world to Luciferian, worship of Lucifer. Now, I've got that in his quote. Now, World War I went exactly as planned. World War II didn't go as planned, but it accomplished its goals, but not fully a world order in 1943, 1945. They failed at doing that for various reasons.
Yeah, and we had technologies that came along that we couldn't even conceive of in the 1800s, right?
Well, I know that Tesla brought in a lot in the early 1900s.
Right, the Tesla stuff, and of course, you know, the nuclear, you know, the bombs that were dropped in Japan. You know, a lot of things changed, you know, very rapidly in America. And we had technologies that burst onto the scene that had never even been conceived of.
Oh, yeah, well, they hold back every 20 years. So when they come out of, hypothetically, an IG phone, we have a 3IG. Well, they're already 20 years ahead of that.
Now, that I agree on. I think technologies are being put out there in measured steps. I do agree with you on that, definitely.
Yeah, but everything I've said so far has got evidence, everything. This is exactly what's happened. They set this all up, and the plan all along would be a world order in different stages and steps. And it's kind of like, you know, in the old shows where you had the one guy that would balance plates on a stick, and he'd balance all the plates on a stick, and they'd rotate on the stick.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's kind of the same thing. For example, I thought it was crazy when I read this quote about FDR and what he said behind closed doors. The real FDR.
All right, what was the quote?
Well, I'll tell you. It was never to be released to the public, and it wasn't released until 1950, when Senator Lundeen, L-U-N-D-E-E-N, released a quote to William G. Carr around 1950s. And William G. Carr put that quote in his book called Red Fog Over America. Now, the quote, if you can imagine, and this quote represents all the other presidents and their attitude and their plans and their positions, all the way up to Obama, Bush, Clinton, every one of them. So this quote is just representing the presidents that we've always had, except for the ones they've assassinated. So behind closed doors and in front of three congressional committees, and Senator Lundeen was a member of one of the three congressional committees, FDR said the following: 2 years before Pearl Harbor and 6 years after the planned military coup failed. But he's going to do another one by 1943. They were to catch Butler in the act of treason and then declare martial law. That was the plan. Here's a quote. I'll give it to you directly, word for word. I quote, I am making no concessions to business or for relief. I have a military machine sufficient to stop any organized revolt. I am putting my people, that's the Illuminati, ahead of all instruments. That's the American people that are collateral in the third loan. We're instruments. I'm putting my people ahead of all instruments. I'll have had a full understanding with Chamberlain, and we will destroy this unemployed condition with a war and a war only. To hell with American people as far as democracy is concerned. It does not exist. It never did, and we will never let it happen that way. I am going to crush business, infest America with all the aliens possible. In the last analysis, declare martial law and confiscate everything I need for a true and forceful dictatorship. Now, my New Deal is a failure, and I know it. But no one else will tell me that I must discontinue my present activities and program. Unquote.
Well, that's a pretty pretty strong statement.
Yeah, well, you know. I thought that was crazy. Now,
yeah.
I did some more research, and I found out, ironically enough, that a century before that, 100 years, a century before that, an ancestral cousin of FDR, called Clinton, named by Clinton Roosevelt, he published in America a document called The Science of Government Founded on Natural Law. Laws. And what it was nothing more than a plagiarized version of the teachings of Professor Adam Weishaupt of Frankfurt University in Germany. And he was a renegade Jesuit priest, Jew by religion, but primarily a Jesuit priest. And what he did, he arranged for the Illuminati to infiltrate into French Freemasonry, 1776, to give us the Declaration of Independence, to create the chaos. Now, here's the catchy part. 1841, Clinton Roosevelt plagiarized his plan. The plan was finished May the 1st, 1776. Fast forward to 1841. Clinton Roosevelt takes it, gets it from Manzini, and plagiarizes Weishaupt's plan, which is a World Revolutionary Movement part of it, and he passes it on to Karl Marx. And Karl Marx plagiarizes this plan. He calls it, in 1848, the Communist Manifesto. At the same time, Karl Ritter was tasked with writing the fascist program as the antithesis to Karl Marx's plan. They're working together, you see. Now, Karl Ritter dies, and Frank Nitsche takes over. Frank Nitsche completes the writing of the fascist program, ideology, and it morphs into another one called Nazism. There's another name for it. It's quite lengthy. And so then by 1850s, 1860s, they have the ideologies prepared and ready to put in order in 1880s, setting up World War I. That's how they plan. That's what they did. That's how it's been working ever since. So Clinton Roosevelt, in the same bloodline, went all the way 100 years later to FDR, all part of the same plan. You see? Now, I got a copy, a reproduced copy of the plan by Clinton Roosevelt. And you'll find that, actually, if you search for it, Roosevelt's Communist Manifesto by Manuel Josephson, 1955. It's kind of hard to find, but you got some out there. And I've got a reprinted version of his plan. So when they did that, if we back up to 1929, into the 70 years, they failed a military coup because Roosevelt, Churchill, well, actually, let's do this. Churchill, who was the Knights of Malta, by the way, Stalin, Queen Elizabeth II, and Adolf Hitler, were all second cousins under the Rothschilds. They're all working together. And so the idea in six phases was to make the world a one-world government by 1945. Because that's when the plan for Albert Pike was to end, was 1945. So it didn't happen for many reasons. Something that Yamamoto did. Adolf Hitler got a little bit of hero worship, you might say. Mussolini failed. It fell apart. You see, God's in control.
Right. And that's about the time we segued into Bretton Woods that set up the financial system that's lasted for the last 70 years.
You got it. Absolutely. So 1929, add 70 years. Now, The collateral, this is significant. The collateral for the third bank loan, 1929, they need 70 more years. We've got to have collateral. Okay. Every American citizen was pledged as collateral. To do that, they had to, and this is what FDR did, not Nixon, but FDR, took us off the gold standard. No longer do we have any money. Actually, 1920, if you get a $20 bill, between 20 and, forget the date, 1940, somewhere there. But 1920, left-hand side of Lincoln, you'll find, you would have found then, a printed statement that $20 bill could be redeemed for 20 pieces, for a gold piece, a gold dollar. I mean, gold piece, yeah. After FDR took us off the gold standard, they erased it.
Yeah, and he confiscated all the gold, correct?
Oh, yeah, he did he ever.
Yeah. Everybody in the nation had to turn in their gold.
That's right, or go to jail.
That's right.
That's what they're going to do again.
And the first time I heard that story over the last few years, that was shocking to me that a president would order private citizens to cough up all their gold.
Yeah. This is how they do it.
That's pretty extraordinary. How do you think that would go over today? You know,
if the
president made a decree that you have to turn in all your gold or go to jail, it would not go over very well.
Well, they got that worked out. It's all worked out. They got that all worked out.
Right, but I'm just trying to point out the seriousness of a decree like that. I mean, that was very imperial in nature, you know. People today in modern times, that's what I'm saying. Tomorrow, Obama issued an executive order for every American to turn in all of their gold. You'd have an uprising. I don't know how they didn't have one in the 1920s or 30s. Whenever he did that,
because they had war, everybody was placated, everybody was divided, and everybody was happy between 1921 and 1929. You see, it's going to be easy this time because. See, Ron Paul's a Rosicrucian. Everyone up there, everyone, all of them, are members of secret societies, all of them, every one of them. And what they're going to do is you won't be able to use gold because they're going to go to the microchip, to the digital tattoo. That's the market.
Yeah, and I don't doubt they're going to continue to to perpetuate this fiat money system, whether it's being done digitally or whether they're printing, you know, worthless paper like they are today. Absolutely, one would think they're going to continue this worthless financial system as long as we let them do it. You know.
Yeah, but see, the problem is, you don't have anybody to galvanize Americans because they got so divided.
Yeah.
Take the Bundy Ranch. Again, I apologize for the racial thing, but it's just kind of how it is. They use the race to fight each other. So the Bundy Ranch was white on white, you see. And in the Ferguson and others, it's black on white. Then you got the black on Hispanic. You got the Republican Democrat. You've got straight and you got homosexuals. They got fighting each other constantly.
Yeah, we have never been as divided as we are right now. We truly are a divided country, and that's what this show's been about for the 6 months it's been on the air. It's about uniting everybody, Democrats, Republicans, you know, white and black, green, blue, rich people, poor people. You know, it doesn't matter who you are. You know, if you're a red-blooded American and you know something seriously wrong here and you want to stand up with your fellow Americans, that's what this has been about. And you're right. This has got to be gotten out on a mass scale to all of America to get them to wake up, because divided like we are, there's no way we're going to get any traction.
I had an article today. I talked about my radio show. Had an article today. Said about 50 Ferguson cops surrounded Oath Keepers. Right?
Well, right.
Now, what do we got here? 50 Ferguson cops are Americans, and Oath Keepers are Americans. And I bet you.
Yeah, and most of those guys are retired law enforcement or veterans or.
Right.
Know, I
mean, or military.
Yeah.
And probably fought in Iraq together or something.
Sure.
So what is wrong with these people, man, that they can't see this? You see, that's a rhetorical question, but
yeah,
that's what they're doing. And you got the feminism, which was go through the 8 steps. You put them in bondage, women. You build a movement or religion, organization to galvanize them. You give them freedom, and they become free. All right, that follows the same step, the first 4 of 8. So they put the women in bondage. You can't smoke. You can't vote. Stay in the kitchen and cook. So they got tired of that. And so Edward Bernays, a nephew of Sigmund Freud, came up with Light Up for Freedom. And he hired some women, trained them, and he had Gloria Steinem later, funded by the CIA. Rockefeller's funded feminism. Rise up. Oh, yeah. Okay, let's do it. The idea was to separate the families. Separate the family, you destroy the country.
Yeah, and they've done a very good job of that, destruction of the family. You know, from 1962 forward, you know, the removal of prayer. You know, the Bible was used in a textbook in all of our schools until 1962.
That's right. Actually, a really nice quote in a way of explaining it by, not nice in a nice way, but a very good summation by a very evil individual by the name of Brock Chisholm. Brock Chisholm was a Canadian. He was director of the United Nations World Health Organization, and between 1948 and 1953, he said, and I quote, "To achieve world government, it is necessary to remove from the minds of men their individualism, loyalty to family tradition, national patriotism, and religious dogmas," unquote. Now, that quote summarizes the Humanist Manifesto, which is what they've been going under all along. Every school, every public school, Charles Francis Potter, 1930, every public school has always been and is a school of humanism. Humanism is virtually synonymous with socialism and Marxism. And every college and every university has been a Marxist socialist program, every single one of them, right under our noses.
All well, yeah, and you know, like I said, that we've been running these Hillsdale courses, you know, on various things all year long, and you know, it really painted the trail of progressivism and how it got ingrained in all of our higher institutions of learning, and this filtered down, and it became the framework of our educational system, and it's absolutely exactly what you're saying. It's progressivism, socialism, communism. You know, this is what bred that whole progressive movement that exploded in the early 1900s.
Actually,
Well, and it's still just, you know, it's an insidious cancer in America. It is. And it's, Now, we did have Jerome Corsi on here the other night, and he was saying that, and you know, he came out of Harvard, and he said there has been a shift here in the last number of years that the young people themselves are they're starting to reject those things.
Uh-huh.
That have been in place for all of these many, many, many decades.
That's exactly correct.
So he said there is a change happening, you know, within those institutions. Now, is it going to be enough to bring about some true change in America? I don't know.
No, it won't.
But the young people themselves are rejecting what these guys are spouting. They're not buying it anymore. You know.
Yeah, but that's the whole thing. Right now, you asked me early on, one of the things I see coming is what I've been saying all along here in my show, is a re-spiritualization of Christianity. You see, they have identified every generation of youth by designation. I'm a baby boomer. You have the X generation, Y generation, millennial, and whatever. The reason they did that was each generation started chipping off the old values, starting with the baby boomers, and bringing the new age movement. And that began in 1960.
Right.
And then each generation, every decade, more and more, God is dead. The Bibles are all the same. Little by little, video games, TV, mixed martial arts. I got the Iron Mountain Report. You know about that one, I'm sure. The Iron Mountain Report, 1966, 67, how to control people in time of peace. They laid it out. The objectives in the Iron Mountain Report, how to do it. And that was in 66. It's every single one of them have been put forth. The communist infiltration of churches began in 1887. And I've got a list of 46 objectives. Major objectives that have been completed. What they're trying to do now is discredit religion, discredit the United States nation, the nation, because the idea, and this is nation, this is worldwide, the idea is to show how all governments are worthless. All governments. And when they show that all governments are worthless, the worthlessness of all governments, then they will launch the world revolutionary movement in one day. That's what they're orchestrating.
So what do you think they're going to use as their trigger point to do that?
Well, that's hard to say.
They've discredited, you know, I mean, they've really, everybody's pretty well bankrupt and, you know, all the European nations. The West is fairly decimated. China's economy is just stays on the verge of disaster. They've kind of painted Russia as like a almost like an America from, you know, years ago.
Right.
You know, they're kind of trying to paint them in that role in the public opinion these days.
Uh-huh.
You know, maybe Brazil. Brazil's probably got, you know, has been PR'd to the world here as being fairly solid. But, you know, pretty much you look across the board, especially all of Europe is just bankrupt. You know, China's on the edge of disaster. The United States is on the edge of disaster. You know, economically is what I'm talking about. Russia has rebuilt, but there, you know, it's an oil and gas economy. And it's being harmed right now because they're manipulating the price of oil right now, and it's probably starting to decimate the Russian economy, I would imagine.
You got to have a good guy. You got to have a bad guy. The good guy is being pointed toward Putin.
The bad, right. They're painting him to be some – and this is an ex-KGB. You know, this guy, you know, if you really looked inside and figured out who he was, he's trying to rebuild the former glory of the Soviet Union right now. That's what he's doing.
Well,
and he's now starting to try and reclaim some of these Baltic states. And I don't think he'll stop. I think he knows he's got a 24-month window here with Obama. He's not going to stop with Ukraine. He'll do something else. And I predicted yesterday or day before yesterday on the air. I think China is going to make a move on Taiwan before Obama leaves office because they know they can get away with it.
Well, no one does anything unless the Pepe Orsini tells them to. Pepe Orsini is the great pope. The great pope is a connector to the Italian Illuminati. And Putin and Obama and the Chinese general, president, all of them, you name them, they all work together. The facade is that they're against each other or they're at odds with each other. No, they're not at all.
Yeah.
You've got Russian troops already positioned in Canada and the United States already here. You got Chinese troops already here.
They were right, and Jim Garrow has been on here and talked about that. Absolutely.
Yeah. Thanks to Clinton. See, Clinton and Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter signed that treaty in the 1970s that allowed or caused America to pull out of Panama, leaving a vacuum. And the strategy was check, was have a chess move of China into Panama Canal. Then from Panama Canal, they went on in to build bases in Mexico. And Billy Bob Clinton, when he became president in the 1990s, his role was to open up Long Beach Naval Base, allowing Costco to come in, which also opened it up for China. And through that, they started establishing what's called foreign trade zones. And the foreign trade zones, 290 of them in the United States, given to China as collateral for the third bank loan that didn't result in New World Order in 1999. We need collateral because the World Order was supposed to take place in the year 2000. It didn't happen. You see what happened? And so China bought our debt because now we have no money. And China bought our debt with collateral of the foreign trade zones, working with the Clintons. Extended our credit.
Yeah.
And it's been ongoing ever since. And so they've got Chinese troops, Russian troops, Singapore, Germans, you name it, in the United States. So when they declare martial law, it won't be Americans. It'll be Europeans, Chinese, and Russians.
Wearing blue UN helmets.
That's correct. And and like you said, the youth are changing their minds of America. So it'll be the young troops don't have the same sense that we had before. They'll shoot you.
Right.
And you got 26 suicides per day. 20 to 26 suicides per day of our troops. Every day, suicides. Probably more because they're counting others as...
Yeah, and I've talked about that. I don't think that's. I think that those guys are being killed. Terminated somehow. It flies in the face of anybody's logic to think that 26 veterans are committing suicide every day in America.
On my website, watchmenforjesus.com, I have a study that proves it.
That proves what?
That proves they're being suicided.
Yeah, but I mean, they're not like committing suicide because they're despondent or something. Something's happening to these guys.
I know what it is. It's a psychotropic drugs. Voice
right.
to skull.
That's what I'm saying. They're being given something, probably through the VA system or wherever it's coming from. Yeah.
And it's a psychotropic drugs. It's a voice to skull technology, and they hypnotize them while they're sleeping. They give suggestions through the voice to skull technology, which works. Just like you're hypnotizing them. Suggestion. The drugs break down their resistance. That's exactly what's going on.
Well, whatever it is that's happening to these guys, Tom, it's a travesty. Because they're being removed because they're the people that would stand up and defend our Constitution of what they think our former government is. You know.
Right, they will. That's what they're counting on. That's why they're taking them out.
Yeah.
Police departments have been infiltrated by... felons trained in Christian identity, about 185,000 plus is a target, and they infiltrate in the police departments, the precincts, and they will identify the good cops, and the Freemason other cops will take over when the announcement is given. That's how they take over the police departments and combine them into the American police force. That was tested.
Well, listen, Obama said, you know, when he was running for office, that we needed a domestic police force that was as well-trained and funded as our military. And I'm sure he set about putting that together. I mean, he's done everything else he said he was going to do to transform America. So one can surmise, especially with the, you know, the millions upon millions of rounds of hollow point ammunition that have been purchased by the government in the last couple of years, we can only imagine there's probably quite a formidable federal police force that's been assembled, I would imagine, under Homeland Security.
Well, under the multi-jurisdictional task force back in the 1990s, it was under that. And about four or five years ago, in Hardin, Montana, there was a trial test of the American police force. And the owner, the leader of it, was a Serbian, a 15-time felon. And they were taking over a sheriff's department there as a test case. But wasn't.
And what happened?
Yeah. Well, they ran him out after a while, but it was used as a test case. And their logo, and I know I was in Kosovo 5 years, as a Serbian logo, the coat of arms, the double-headed eagle looking both ways. That was their logo. Anyway. See, it was Clinton that also talked about the police force before Obama. And before Clinton was Adolf Hitler. He did exactly the same thing.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's a, you know, that's the big comparison. I've made it on this show.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we are exactly going through the same steps that Germany went through. And have you seen the letter from the 90-something-year-old old lady that came here from Germany? And she lived through that,
yeah.
And she painted exactly what we're touching on here, and you know, she was trying to wake people up to say you're following the exact same steps. You know, Hitler was popularly elected. You know, we were an armed population, and you know, they confiscated people's arms. You know, they put in place a national secret police. I mean, absolutely, the comparisons are almost one-to-one.
Well,
and we're just like sheep being led to the slaughter because we're not awake, and our normalcy bias says this can't happen in America.
Well, it ought to work the same one, because in 1945-46, you had Operation Paperclip, and we brought over 10,000 Nazis, including Adolf Hitler. He went to Argentina and North American continent. He died in 1960s. Adolf Hitler did. We brought 10,000 Nazis over. And von Braun, the rocket program, space program,
yeah.
We brought social engineers, psychologists, physicists, military experts. We didn't win the war. We won the battles, but we lost the war, like we did the Revolutionary War, like we did the Civil War, like we did World War I, World War II. And the enemy that caused the death of every one of those in World War II and Korea, as I have in evidence, December the 9th, 1950, Chicago Tribune, the responsibility of all those deaths falls right on the Council of Foreign Relations, working with the Royal Institute of National Affairs, the Illuminati. It falls on their heads, the Council of Foreign Relations, responsible for the death of all those in World War II and Korean War. And that came out of a quote, December the 9th, 1950. I got the quote here.
And yeah, I was going to say, if you got the quote, let's hear it.
Okay, hold on. One second here. Give me a chance. Pull it right up. It's Korean War, 1950. And right there. Chicago Tribune article, December the 9th, 1950, says, the short version of it, I quote, "The members of the Council on Foreign Relations should look at their hands. There's blood on them. The dried blood of the last war, World War II, and the fresh blood of the present one, the Korean War," unquote. And what it means there, confirmed by General Douglas MacArthur, for example, the State Department ordered the 7th Fleet to blockade Taiwan, Formosa then, not to allow Chiang Kai-shek to come over with 500,000 men to retake China. Well, the 7th Fleet was ordered by the president to blockade it, Truman, to blockade and stop the advance of those men to retake Red China. When that happened, Red China and North Korea, protected by our own fleet, they came in with 9 divisions, and that was the beginning of the Frozen Chosen. They wanted to make sure that we lost that war or come to a standstill, because they wanted to make sure that China remained communist, because that was the next alternative enemy throughout the 60s. As a matter of fact, I quote General Douglas MacArthur, quote, "The possibility of Red China's entry into the Korean War had existed ever since the order from Washington issued to the 7th Fleet in June to neutralize Formosa, which in effect protected Red China mainland from attack by Chiang Kai-shek forces of 500,000 men," unquote. So, according to the untold story of Douglas MacArthur, not only did Truman declare it was against American policy for the free Chinese to reclaim communist China, but he ordered the 7th Fleet in the Straits of Formosa to make sure it happened.
Right.
That's only a part. And then the Vietnam War was already pre-planned. And that was set up to take down of America that was planned, like I talked about, brought Chris home. Reduce national sovereignty, feminism, the whole thing, to start taking us down beginning in 1945, 1946. You see? And so the enemy are the secret societies within our own government and Europe. And they all work together. That's why I said 2 Chronicles 7:14. The way to do it is supernaturally, because Satan is prince of this world, but he's not king. His time when he gets started is short. But it's always been God in the forefront. Now, what we can do is delay it. And it has been delayed. 1933, 1943, 1962. 1972 with Nixon, he tried a military coup with working with General Cushman. They failed in their military coup between 1972 and 74. 1984, Oliver North, Giafrida, Reagan, Rex 84. That failed. See, the idea to subjugate the Constitution is very simple. You declare a national disaster. To declare one, you got to create one. And that will subvert the American Constitution. Now, I have that on testimony. I can call up in a second. But on testimony by Jack Brooks, actual testimony, I've got it here. He was questioning Oliver North about a plan to take to the continuity of government in a time of a disaster that would suspend the American Constitution. And he was stopped by the director of the leader of the congressional committee. They couldn't discuss it any further because it was a plan by Reagan, Giafrida.
Well, and that's where FEMA came from. FEMA was never about emergency management for times of emergency. Their initial mission and the agency that grew and became later known as FEMA was about continuity of government.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, it goes back to Nixon because in 1972, 74, in 1972, the plan for Nixon, working with General Cushman of the Marine Corps, was to surround Washington, D.C. with 10,000 Marines, and the idea was to for a dictatorship. Now, what he did was, from further investigation, in February the 12th, 1972, Nixon, getting ready for it by September, October of the following year, he had signed Executive Order 11647. And the Executive Order 11647, February the 12th, 1972, was dividing the United States into 10 regions with 5 states each, which effectively what I call balkanized America. And it was made up into pieces that the United Nations would take over. So you'd have a governor, 10 of them, and a UN regional administrator, 10 of them, would take over functions of government, controlling those 10 regions. Now, the plan in September, 72, was the convention, Republican convention, and Spiro Agnew was to speak at it in San Diego, California. And the plan was, when Agnew was getting ready to speak, there's going to be a riot on the campaign floor, and during the melee, a member of the LAPD, as testimony, glass house tapes, Lewis Tackwood, confirms, a member of the LAPD, which is a member, every major police department has one, a group, an organization within the police department that assassinate, murder, do things for the CIA. A member of the LAPD was going to assassinate Spiro Agnew on TV. And then several days after that, there's going to be explosions, bombings, blamed on the liberals. And then that would have given Nixon justification to declare martial law. That never happened. Watergate was simply a symptom of that. It never happened. They moved it to, Florida they moved the convention to. Didn't have it in San Diego. They canceled the operation. Now, I thought that was crazy till I looked up Schlesinger. And Schlesinger, at that same time period, you have articles that came out about Nixon having extra-constitutional plans. And actually, Schlesinger had investigated how quickly he could move the 82nd Airborne to D.C. in the event that Nixon was going to utilize the 22nd Amendment and go for another term. But it failed. So they had to 1978, they rescinded those orders, 11647, 11731, and to take over the functions of government, 11495. Well, they had to rescind those, get rid of them, hide them, get them out of here. So what they did was they transferred it in the late 70s, guess where? Into FEMA. So if you look at the FEMA regions, it's the exact copy.
Right. It's the same same 10 regions.
Exactly the same 10 regions.
Yeah.
That's all they did.
Now, let me tell you what you're up against here, Tom.
Mm.
You know, because I can tell you with certainty, just from the last year, you know, being on the air talking to America, only a very small sliver of the population is going to believe anything that you've just said tonight.
Of course.
So the path to reclaim America is not going to happen by imparting this to them. So we have to find the right message, and we need the right plan. And we've got to figure out what we need to do to wake America up and get them on board. You know, because we are at the 11th hour of sliding down into the hole here.
Mm-hmm.
And so, to me, that is the great mission that's put in front of all of us. What do we do? You know, And it, surely with prayerful guidance and, you know, this is the mission that we must accomplish, because we're not going to, this grates against 90-something percent of most people's normalcy bias. So people like you, people like me, people that are on the air that love America, and desperately want to wake America up. And, you know, a lot of these topics splinter the patriot movement, you know, because they are, to a lot of people, controversial. We're going to have to figure out how to rise above this noise and figure out how do we unite America behind a common goal of restoring a true constitutional government, you know, a republic for America. You know, so there is a beacon of freedom in the world. And I don't claim to have all the answers. I know that's what the journey has been about on American Liberty Live. But to me, when I frame that up, that is the big calling here that we've got for people in this country that love America, you know, that we grew up and we thought America was, and it's been drugged down, you know, a bad road. It's up to us to figure out how we're going to put it together. And this is what, you know, this is the type of thing that keeps me up at night, you know, because I know America's, they're not going to, this isn't going to get them there. And I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but we've got to figure out a way to bring America together, to get them to stand up and say, you know, we want something better. There's less than 1,000 guys in D.C. that are ruining the future for 300-something million Americans and our kids and our grandkids and all those that come after us. And it is about good and evil. And it is about people with money and power that feel like their ideas on how to rule the planet, I guess because they have the money and the resources, that it gives them some sort of entitlement, that they should be able to tell us all, you know, the rest of us, what to do. But I can't help but think, if we can find the right thing to wake America up and get them moving forward. We all watch what happened in Cairo, right? And I'm not talking about the first time where we installed a Muslim Brotherhood president. I'm talking about a year later when 30 million people spilled out in the streets and threw him out. You know, that was a true revolution there. And the point is that that's what we have to have happen in America to get this boat headed in the right direction. And I don't claim to know what all those answers are, but these are the things we've been exploring. You know, common law grand juries. You know, an Article 5 convention of the states. You know, there's a lot of ideas that have been thrown on the table. Mm-hmm. But the biggest thing of all is that we've got to wake people up en masse.
Well,
you know.
You know, the republic, we never had a democracy. We never had one. We had a republic contract.
That's right.
Okay. Well, it died in 1871. Now, if you're really going to make something happen, first you got to eliminate all the Italian Illuminati families, all 26. Then you got to get rid of all the Freemasons and Jesuits in the government. Otherwise, it's impossible. Impossible. So you got to vet out all the Freemasons in Congress, military, Joint Chief of Staff. They are against America. The Joint Chief of Staff are made up of Knights of Malta, Rhodes Scholars. They take a blood oath dedicating allegiance to the Vatican. I got a copy of their oaths. I've actually got an actual testimony, or not testimony, but Rick Joyner. I can play it right now if you want me to. Rick Joyner calling for a military coup of the U.S. government on his national TV program. Now, Rick Joyner works very closely, elbow to elbow, with General Boykin. And both of them.
Yeah, and did you read the article from Boykin the other day?
Which was that?
He was He was calling Hegel out and saying that Hegel needed to come forward and tell the American people, now that he was out, just how bad the Obama administration has decimated our military and how vulnerable we are.
Yeah. Well, see, Boykin's a liar. Boykin is a Knights of Malta. He's a chancellor for the Knights of Malta. He's a traitor. All of the Joint Chief of Staff brief the Council of Foreign Relations and work with him. Boykin is a Knights of Malta. He's a high level. He's higher than the President of the United States. He's a higher level member of the Knights of Malta. They're playing a game, you see. And so is Rick Joyner. They're both Knights of Malta. I got a list of that's
all right. So what is your path forward? You know, from what you've studied out and what you believe and what you know, what do you think the path forward is for America?
2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from the wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, will heal their land. There is no other way. You see, you're going to form.
I agree with that, and I am through my whole life. I've been a devout Christian, and I understand, and I agree with that. I think America needs to be seeking guidance from God and turning to God. But also with that, I know that God expects people to take action.
Right.
And yeah, so all right. So America is seeking God. They're looking for God to heal the land. What actions do you see that would put us on a path, to reclaim this country for?
Well, first you got to work to reverse the decisions of all the states on homosexual marriage. You got to go to Oregon and stop their activities there about Child Euthanasia Act. In Texas, they get ready to pass the Child Euthanasia so children can decide to kill themselves. And you can't stop it. So they got to get rid of that. Get rid of the homosexual marriages. See, all that's against God. And the more the country turns against God, the more God pulls away, gives more latitude to secret societies. To stop some of this legislation about gun control. To get in touch with their congressman. All you're going to do, and what should be done, and has been done in the past, is delay the inevitable. But delay it is what it really amounts to being. Because judgment will come on this earth in God's time. And there's no stopping that. And the 7-year tribulation will happen. There's no stopping that. But as we've talked about, 1933 was delayed. 1943 is delayed. 1962, 1972, 1984, 1999. It's been delayed, 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 delayed. Sometimes for 100 years or more. It's been delayed because people would work together and take the right action, like, you know, stopping legislation, turning back to God, these kind of things. But the Freemasons have infiltrated into all the government, economics, education, all that, but primarily the legislation and Congress, to get them out of there. If you're a Freemason, you're out of here. You see, and judges that are Freemasons, take them off the bench. Otherwise, you'll never get anything passed. Because they are allegiant to their secret society and the blood oath they've taken. You see? I mean, Jack Brooks was bringing it up in 1983-84. He was stopped by the leader of the I could play it right now, but you know, he stopped bringing up about the continuity of government and dissolving the Constitution, the plan that was being worked out in 84. They control it. So you got to get rid of them. Vote them out. I mean, these are actions you can take, but is it really going to succeed? Now, you can try. Who knows? Never can tell.
Well, I've said this on the show before, and I'll offer it out here.
Yeah.
You know, I know, we know, you know, if you're a Christian, you know from the Bible there will be a day of judgment. Nobody knows when that's going to happen.
Right.
And I've said, you know, it could be tomorrow. It could be in 10 years. It could be in 500 years. It could be in 1,000 years. And the point that I was making at the time that I'll make now is that we can't forsake our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren and do nothing because we know there's a day of judgment coming and you know, we can't just commit the generations coming after us to, you know, to enslavement, you know, by not taking the actions we need to take to get America back on a right road. So we bear some responsibility there. You know, are we going to be known forever as the generation that lost freedom?
Well, the,
you know, because that's where we're at right now.
Well, the generation lost freedom was 1776.
Right. But you know what I'm saying.
Now,
I mean,
yeah,
America
but,
has. I mean, I know the America I grew up in, and although there might have been all these things going on behind the scenes, to the general population, we were a free country. Okay, so I understand what you're saying. You know, there were things underneath that that you know the power elite, you know, had control of it all. But what I'm saying is, to the average American, they were living in freedom, you know, in the 50s and the 60s, 70s, you know, the years that I grew up through. I was probably the last generation that had prayer in school and the Pledge of Allegiance and, you know, got American history and all these things. You know, that America is, you know, I know people in my age group at 50 years old, be 51 in a few weeks here. That's the America we remember. You know, that has just absolutely been erased in my lifetime. It doesn't exist anymore. And, you know, I don't want to commit the people coming after us to where we're sliding right now. And we're not going to a good place. And, you know, we're having Dan Johnson on here on Friday with Panda Unite about the National Defense Authorization Act that was passed 2 years ago this month. That is frightening, that really gives the president those powers to, you know, the martial law and, you know, just confiscate everything, really.
Well, that goes back
all
to,
the resources, well, food, water, to, you know, every bit of it.
That goes back to Bush, John Warner, National Defense Authorization Act.
Oh, yeah. It's been a long process of little orders that have been done along the way. But the NDAA 2 years ago solidified and brought it all together. And now it's a very ominous thing. And I've made this point, and people need to take note, and it's what you just said, that a lot of these people in government are bad people. It took both Republicans and Democrats to pass that NDAA 2 years ago because the Republicans controlled the House of Representatives. Right? So this wasn't just some sort of liberal agenda. It required bipartisan support for that NDAA to get passed that would allow a sweeping, comprehensive martial law.
Yeah, but you understand that the Republicans, Democrats work together like brother and sister.
That's what I'm saying. That's okay. The point I'm making to our listeners out here that maybe don't understand that. You know, there is corruption widespread, you know, across the government.
So we
have a very frightening set of circumstances now that, you know, we are, you know, like you said, we one big disaster away from a president declaring martial law, and then we wake up the next day and we're living in a different world.
Some things I can throw out on a secular level, of course, is praying for the country and the leaders and the national healing. Educate, you know, the population to get educated. In what we're talking about tonight, but a lot of them are in denial. That's the problem. They're in the apathetic stage. You know?
Well, yeah, they have a normalcy bias that this couldn't happen. But I will tell you this, Tom, because things have gotten so bad for the average American in the last 6 to 8 years, right? After the economy collapsed in 08, the housing crisis, you know, tens of millions of people lost homes. You know, their electric bill has gone up, you know, goodness, 50%. Go to a grocery store. You know, things are double what they cost just a few years back. You know, people can't make it. They're starting to understand something is seriously wrong. And we're at a very unique time where finally more people en masse are willing to listen to this message that there's something seriously wrong. Because we have been put in such a position that we're not a wealthy nation right now.
Oh, we don't have any money. We're not even a nation. We're a colony.
That's it. Yeah, and your average person out there is struggling, you know.
That's
and
what
a lot of them don't own their home anymore. They're leasing a home, you know, and they're hanging on by their fingernails. All right, so they are receptive because we have been brought down to such a level that they know something inside. People know something's wrong. So they are more receptive right now to this message.
Maybe the parents to take control of education, get the police out of the schools.
Absolutely. And I've been a big proponent on here, homeschool your kids. Don't let them come through this system. It's not a good system. And we really need to push, you know, if we get a conservative president down the road here, we need to push for a dissolving of the Department of Education.
You know,
and
we
need to put the education back in the hands of the communities.
Yeah, you know, they control seven areas: education, philosophy, religion, science, the arts, politics, and finance. And there's specifically objectives for each one.
Yeah, and you know what you just mirrored? You just mirrored JFK's speech about secret societies.
Yeah.
Right?
That's exactly right.
That's it.
And but see, the thing is, the Masons, majority of them at the lowest level, have absolutely no clue this is going on.
Yeah, and I was getting ready to say that because, you know, I've got friends that are Masons, and I'm just telling you, these are just normal, good, local people that are just good guys. And they can't conceive of, when you bring this stuff out, a lot of those guys are very offended. And you're talking about a lot of leaders in a lot of communities. And you can't go out and offend all these guys because a lot of these guys are the very same ones that will help stand up and reclaim America. So when you call them all Freemasons and Illuminati and they're all the bad guys and a guy sitting over here and he's a Mason, you know, that makes those guys angry. So,
well,
you know, we've even got to find a better way to frame up what you're talking about here because it is the top tier elite people with lots of power and money. There is evil in the world, right? And they want to create a world government where they control everything. And I believe that. I understand it. But I think we got to frame it up better because there's another point of division there. Because, you know, anybody that's locally, you know, on a local level, a Mason, talking about the stuff we were tonight and saying all Freemasons are bad,
nope.
they're going to take very much offense to that.
Well, I would too, because they're not all bad. They're just uninformed about what's going on.
They don't know what the top tier people might be doing. And I said this on the show last night because we were talking about this same thing with Zionists versus Jews and all that stuff. And the whole point I was trying to make is in every society of the world, there are always top tier people, right, that have a lot of money and power that think they are enabled and are more suited to determine the fate of humankind than you are. And it doesn't matter what society you're talking about. There's always a sliver of people at the top that are like that. And unfortunately, in this world that is ruled by Satan, like you say, money accomplishes quite a bit. You know, and so it allows these guys to move forward with a lot of these crazy plans like depopulation, a lot of the things you hear about that they want to accomplish. But we have to figure out how to unite America. And certainly I agree with you. I don't think anybody that's a Mason on a local level has any conception of this stuff that you're talking about. Certainly, I don't think they're talking about this on that level.
They're not. They're not. God wants no secret societies around, and they don't either. I have it documented in their planning process, chapter 15. There's four items, and the bottom line of it is, when the Great White Brotherhood has total control, they are going to execute every Freemason that knows too much, and all the other Masons are going to die, quote, as if by some illness, unquote. They will kill every Freemason. It is going to happen. It's documented in their plans. I can read you exactly word for word.
And where do you what's the source of that information? Just out of curiosity, because I don't know.
Protocol,
I mean, these are not things I've studied up,
right,
Tom. So, you know, I'm just letting you present it all out tonight, and I was just kind of giving you the angle of, you know, what we need to do about waking up America. But I don't know the source of a lot of this information.
I'll tell
for sure.
You, if they look up the protocols of the learned elders of Zion and go to chapter X-ray Victor, chapter 15, it's right there. Now, they've got all the protocols. That is the plan of Adam Weishaupt. Huh. You see, he came up with a plan. Finished it May the 1st, 1776. It is a plan to carry on through the generations. It is briefed at the Congress of Wilhelmsbad in 1782. That's when the Masons married the Illuminati at the Congress of Wilhelmsbad. That happened. A lot of Masons don't know that. And that's a fact. And then in 1873 to 1901, a member of the Illuminati was going around briefing their folks and got part of the lecture. And he talks about what they're going to do when they have total control. And that's one of the things that's going to happen. They won't need the secret societies anymore. They can't have them. And neither can God. Because you can't take a blood oath. It's impossible. God is against it. So that, in the first degree, you know, have my tongue torn out by the root and my throat from side to side and body sawed in half and all kinds of nonsense. They got to know that's bad. If they were to renounce that blood oath, get out of the Freemasons and start blowing the whistle, you got something going on now. And identify these Knights of Malta as traitors. All of them. Now you got something going on. And vet out the Jesuits that's been placed in education, been placed in religion, been placed in the military, and restructure the Joint Chief of Staff, all those that are Rhodes Scholars, Knights of Malta, you're out of here. Now that, you got something going on now.
Right.
You see, that's
right, and I've said it for a while. I mean, you need good, you know, good, decent Americans, you know, occupying our halls of government, and also along with that, you know, there was a guy that we had on the show earlier in the summer named Dennis Schulke. I don't know if you've met him before, but Dennis wrote a book called Attorneys Above the Law, and his contention is all of this is tied into the attorney caste also. And if you notice, you know, our presidents all come out of. They're all attorneys out of Harvard or Yale. You know, our most of our members of Congress are attorneys. Certainly a lot of our judicial, most of our judicial are all attorneys. And our government is absolutely one profession, you know. And certainly that's a massive conflict of interest, you know. We need good, decent Americans occupying those positions in government, and they need to do it like it was originally intended, where you know you're a public servant, you go serve a term or two in Congress, and then you come home and you forget about politics, right? I mean, that's the way this should be run. It should never have been. There should never have been a thing, you know, called a career politician. You know, our founding fathers, you know, way that was structured out, checks and balances. And, you know, they talked a lot about, you know, corruptibility of man. And, you know, you put anybody in power long enough and they're going to find some lines of corruption, you know. But we need good, honest, decent Americans occupying the halls of government. There's no doubt about it. I had one question that was texted me here and I wanted to ask it to you. I keep forgetting about it. And the question was this. If this has been a plot that's been going on for centuries,
yep,
why would they have allowed America to have been a free country like that, that has now been such a problem that they spent 230 years trying to figure out how to deal with a free people, you know, to get rid of it?
No, they've been using it. It's been perfectly. We've not been free. We've never been free. We've never been free. We've been enslaved since 1871. We've never had a free country. Drizzen James And Von Goth said, and I quote, one second, let me get rolled up here. I usually have these things at my Dresden James summarized it very well in what's happened. Quote, the ideal tyranny is that which is ignorantly self-administered by its victims. The most perfect slaves are therefore those who blissfully, unawarely enslave themselves, unquote. And Johann Wolfgang von Goethe said, and I quote, no one is more of a slave than he who thinks himself free without being so. See, we've been slaves since 1930s.
Yeah, but the point I think they're trying to make there is they had to, you know, they came up with a manifesto to break down America because they couldn't get rid of the problem of America without breaking down the family, getting rid of Christianity,
right.
You know, all these things. Those problems wouldn't existed if they had just set this up as a dictatorship from the beginning, from the colonies, you know.
Things had to happen before. They need to have this control over people. They had to have this. They can't act without God allowing certain things to happen. And they couldn't bring everybody under a dictatorship. They didn't have the mark of the beast yet. They didn't have the technology. It wasn't ready. They couldn't maintain it. He didn't have the technology.
Yeah.
He didn't have the education set up. Certain things had to happen. So they kept us blissfully unaware that we're still slaves. We don't own anything, really. We're slaves. Always have been. We have no money.
Yeah, and I've told people with property taxes and all that, you absolutely, you don't pay those, your property's gone. I mean, these are things that it should never have been allowed or put in place if we were operating truly under our Constitution.
Well, the fraud was described between Mandel House and Woodrow Wilson in his diary, word for word, and how they set this thing up back in the 1920s. We've always been slaves and didn't know it since the beginning. And they knew by 1945, as I said before, now's the time to take down America. They need us free. They need the family structure. So to foment these wars. We needed patriotism. They needed family structure. They needed religious dogmas. So we'd have principles. So we'd fight the wars. If you're apathetic, you're not going to fight the wars.
Right.
They need to have the wars fought for the death and destruction they cause to open up the portals.
Yeah.
Now, I don't want to go further on that because some people are not going to understand that.
Yeah, right. I mean, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Now, do you want to, if you got a little bit of time here, you want to take a little short couple of minutes here and then come back and do a little bit of Q&A with some of the viewers?
Sure, we can do that.
All right, let's do that. It's about 5 till 11 here. So let's take a short break. This is Jeffrey Sisk. You're watching American Liberty Live, and we'll be right back with some Q&A with Tom Gamble. All right, so we're clear, and that'll give you a second to take a quick break, and I'll be right back, and then we'll come back and take some questions.
Thanks a lot.
All right, Tom.
All right, let's do that. It's about 5 till...
Hello, hello.